All right, listen, we're going to jump into this first dipper. So this one is called Protecting Kids. And I'm gonna have a great guest coming up in about 20 minutes, but let me lay the foundation for a few things, all right? So I believe that kids are our ultimate resource. They are the greatest gift that God has ever given us. And that's not just America, that's the world. But that being said, we have got, I feel like more than ever, we have got to keep on guard for what is happening with our kids. It used to be that the left was, or for that matter, evil. Let's just say evil. It used to be that evil would sneak around trying to impact kids' lives. Now it's just brazen. Now it's just all out there. Now they put up billboards. I mean, now it's, you know, it's like everything from gaudy makeup and parades to books in their school that are labeled as part of the curriculum to, you know, inserting things into Disney films to, you know, predators having online access to your kids, and legislators won't just do the simple things to keep that from happening. It's everywhere, and it's brazen. And sometimes it's done in an official capacity. Sometimes this evil that tries to perpetrate itself on our kids literally doesn't even cloak itself in the mask of obscurity. It doesn't do anything to try and, you know, creep around as a social, cultural thing. It comes at you as an official governmental action. Well, the Supreme Court of the United States is hearing oral arguments. I actually did this morning, and I'm wondering where this is going to go, because I've got a piece here by Jonathan Turley, and I had said before, and he said also, that this case that was being argued today before the Supreme Court of the United States could prove to be one of the most important victories for parental rights and the protection of kids. Here's the deal. The case originally is called Mahmoud versus Taylor, all right? There were a number of parents in Montgomery County, Maryland, who protested when they found out that their children were being required to take part in classroom instruction that had all kinds of LGBTQ plus themes. I mean, like I said, they're not even trying to pretend. They're hanging rainbow flags in your classrooms now. The case, by the way, involves books once again. Because, you know, that's just, Anyway, they had a variety of books. Well, these parents were a mixed bag of Muslims, Catholics, Ukrainian Orthodox, and they sued saying it was a violation of their religious principles to, you know, have the school just say, well, too bad for your luck, we're putting the books in the classroom. The parents asked for an opt-out. The county school board in Montgomery County, Maryland, denied the parents an opportunity to have their children opt out from the instruction. Now, keep in mind, we're not talking about them opting out of the class. And also, by the way, keep in mind, we're talking about all the way down to 3 years old. These are sometimes the age group we're talking about is between 3 and 10. So you're talking preschool up to about third grade. What? Preschool to third grade. Why do they need books on sexuality? Why do they need books on transgenderism? I'll tell you why. Because they're trying to normalize it in these kids' minds, regardless of whether the parents want it normalized or not. They know it's a controversial topic, and they don't give a rat's hind end. So, that being said, Mahmoud versus Taylor came to the Supreme Court of the United States. The parents lost at the lower courts. They did. The question is going to be now, what's the Supreme Court going to do? So the parents, they're rightfully alleging religious hostility. The Board of Education, well, their arguments are a little more benign, a little more administrative. They claim that, well, it's necessary for them to have a uniform curriculum. Why are there books on transgenderism in the curriculum? By the way, we're not talking about they're just in the school library. No. We're not talking about they were gifted to the school and accidentally placed on a shelf and kids could stumble across them. No. The school board wants them taught in class. That's different. So you can't, we're not talking about parents wanting to opt their kids out of the class. We're just talking about parents who don't want their kids reading that book right there. They also insist, the school board does, that, you know, allowing some parents to opt out would be an overwhelming burden. Not if you don't teach the freaking book. Just stop teaching it. But all the parents are saying is, just give us an opt-out. Have an alternative. Our kids will read a different book. Teachers and boards, it says, by Jonathan Turley, it says, are killing the institution of public education by treating children and parents more like captives than consumers. They're force-feeding social and political priorities, including passes for engaging in approved protest. So the end result is this. The arguments came before the Supreme Court today. There were some pretty heated questions, very pointed, very direct. It'll probably be June before we know, at the earliest, maybe later, what they're going to do. In the meantime, Montgomery County, Maryland is all in, man. They want these books in the curriculum. Bam. We're sorry. And parents are like, no, how about just no? All right. So coming up top of the hour, we're going to talk about some things that are being done. Now that's a case where parents got active and said, no, no. And they were willing to go all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States to argue their points. But there are some things that can be done purely by legislation. And they're really not rocket science. So I've got a case. Let's see. Where's the one from Tennessee? Hang on a second. Tennessee. So Tennessee passed a bill last year called the Tennessee Protect Tennessee Minors Act. The Protect Tennessee Minors Act, got this off of local news, WATE out of Tennessee, came out in January. Cybersecurity experts believe that a law meant to protect kids from adult websites is now causing a rise in VPN searches. You're shaking your head. What?
This is funny to me. It's ridiculous.
They're desperate to find the end around.
Yeah.
So I'm not a techie, all right, but a VPN, help me understand this, is your way of finding a backdoor through to something.
Yeah, it gives you, it masks your IP with a different one. So you can say, like, I've got a VPN. You can put it at California, LA. You can put it in Spain, Germany, anywhere. So you can put the VPN as anywhere outside of Tennessee, and that's, it would say, you know, it'll give you a backdoor through, yeah.
So basically you could sign up for something that your state law says you can't sign up for without them realizing you were in that state.
Yeah. I mean, I got my, I get notifications and ads on my Instagram for where my VPN's set up, and like they don't know I don't live there. So yeah, it's, you can mask completely where you're from with that. Yeah.
Wow. I guess that's another story about why you have a VPN.
You know, I'm paranoidly private. So
I understand. It's okay. I'm the guy who keeps the camera covered on my, yes. You know, my devices. Yes. All right, but so in January, a circuit court judge lifted a stay that had been originally in place that allowed the Protect Tennessee Minors Act to go into effect. All it does is it requires pornographic websites to make users verify their age. In other words, all you're doing is you have to click on there saying, I am over the age of 18. Okay, that's scary. But apparently, now they're seeing a massive uptick in people trying to get VPNs. To do an end around on that tells you how prolific the situation was. It absolutely tells you there was a problem. If you're seeing Tennessee suddenly become the number one state in the nation, that's what it says. Google Trends now show that since that law took effect, Tennessee became the number one state for VPN searches. What does that tell you? There was a problem. All right. Alabama Senate's working on two bills right now. Alabama Senate's working on two bills. One is Senate Bill 186. The story is datelined yesterday off the Alabama Reflector. I forgot about the Reflector. I don't go there very often. A guy named Brian Lyman runs it. Yeah.
I actually don't know who that is.
Alabama Reflector is another online news website. It's run by a liberal guy named Brian Lyman. He used to work for the Montgomery Advertiser. I saw him all the time in Montgomery. I mean, he's a good enough dude. But now that he's away from the Advertiser and no longer bound by certain protocols, there's no fooling about where he stands on the issues. Anyway, he runs his website called Alabama Reflector. So we got two bills. I'm sorry, let me jump back. Did I digress? Two bills. Senate Bill 186 just passed the Alabama State Senate. It's one we talked about before. It allows for a filter that already exists on your phone to just simply be turned on by the sales point of sale that prevents kids from being able to see obscene material. It already exists. Most people, I didn't know it was there until I was told. You can just go in there and enable it, and then it's a parent that has to have the password to undo it. And it keeps kids from stumbling into porn. The other thing is Senate Bill 187, and this is interesting. This is going to require the app stores to make sure they do age verification before they will sell an app or sign somebody up for something, because technically what you're doing is engaging in a contract, and kids in Alabama and most states are not eligible due to their age to enter into contracts. And they're entering into things that wind up costing money, and the parents have to pay for it, and it's things that shouldn't be happening. So these two bills are going right now, and we're going to talk to somebody here at the top of the hour about one of them. All right, let's go ahead and take a break right now. We'll come right back. Y'all, I'm telling you, I got news here. Some of which is going to curl your hair. We got to protect kids. Got to. And it's an affirmative, intentional thing. It requires some effort. The liberals aren't letting up. Why should we? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so I was just before the break, I was telling you there's two bills right now floating their way through the Alabama legislature. Two bills just recently passed, like in the last couple of days, the Alabama Senate. One is Senate Bill 186. It's the bill that requires turning on the filters that already exist on smartphones and tablets. It's not hard. It's like it doesn't hurt you. It doesn't diminish things. It doesn't cost you anything. It's already there. It just says at point of sale, you got to turn it on, and the parents have to have the password if you're under 18 to turn it back off. It keeps kids from stumbling into porn. That's a big deal. All right. The other bill is Senate Bill 187. Senate Bill 187, which passed overwhelmingly, would require app stores. You know, you go online to the Play Store or wherever, or the Apple App Store, and then kids sign up for stuff. And kids sign up for stuff not knowing that they're entering into a contract agreement sometimes, or that it's going to cost them things, or that they just engage a subscription. You know, sometimes their parent's credit card is tied to their smartphone, and next thing you know, the parent's credit card is being hit with charges. Well, minors can't. And by the way, some of these things are also, you're downloading stuff that they shouldn't be on. And there should be a standard. Well, why anybody would be scared of this, I don't know. Just all it's doing is saying, we want the app stores to have to say, are you over the age of 18 in Alabama? That's all we want it to say. And I'll say this, Senator Clyde Chambliss, I know Clyde, he's a good guy from Prattville, says this is important because children, minors, are not of an age and maturity and intellect to be able to enter into contracts or to read and understand these contracts. They're even hard enough for adults. That's a great point. Why would we not protect kids?
We actually got a comment on our YouTube live stream about this. Drumming Marine is his name on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Says, I entered into a quote contract once with Columbia House. They wanted, they wanted their penny, by golly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He also said,
okay, I've seen that one.
So contracts for minors isn't a new thing, even though 99% of said minors have no idea what a contract even is. Hardly any consequences to bad agreements, i.e. student loans.
You know what's funny? Now that you say that, there's a breaking news right now. I'm looking at it on my screen sitting here that says, breaking news, President Trump will resume collection of outstanding and defaulted student loan payments beginning May 5th. It's like, it's going to be a hard wake up for some people. So there's that. But the other piece, Columbia House, do you even know what that is?
Nope.
Okay. So back in the days when we got our music through like records and CDs and cassette tapes, and even 8-tracks. I am there. I'm 8-track man. There's a company called Columbia House that would send you stuff in the mail, and they'd say, for one penny, pick your top 10 albums. But to do so, you had to sign up a subscription. And then every month, you had to pick what they would send you, or they would send you something automatically and bill you. And so basically, if you're not careful, you're going to wind up getting, you know, some cheesy band you never would have wanted, unless you told them for a fact all you wanted was like classic rock or whatever. And so, but Columbia House, so I did it. I can't tell you. You get the 10 CDs and then hope they never follow up. Well, no, by God, they want their penny. They're going to get that penny. And then they're going to get that $19.99 per every month too, just to keep, and then your parents wind up having to get you out of it.
If you don't choose what they want, you want them to send, do they send you something by like the original artist?
Yeah,
like,
that's right. There's that. Yeah. I'm still emotionally scarred from that one. All right, listen, when we get back, we're going to be talking to Malia Stevens. She's amazing. She does amazing work. She does work that I used to work in an adolescent treatment center. I know how hard it is to work with kids who've been abused and who have been put through things that no kid should have to see. But she does it even on levels that I never did. She's a licensed counselor, and she's got a real heart for kids, and she's got a real heart for protecting kids, and she cares deeply about these bills I just told you about in the Alabama legislature. We'll talk to Malia Stevens right after this. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome back to hour number two on what is often referred to as a Taco Tuesday, because it's always about the food, it seems like. But I tell you what else is about. This dipper that I'm doing right now, I'm calling it Protecting Kids. And okay, so let me back up. Use your words, Phil. Kids are a gift from God. They just are. And anybody who tells you different just doesn't know. The end result is that kids are our greatest resource. They are a joy and a blessing. You know, I've heard it said that anyone can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. And that's because raising kids is an honor and a blessing, and so is working with kids. And protecting kids is actually a duty and a responsibility. Well, sometimes it's the things that happen in culture, but sometimes it's official legislative action, things that happen in government. And I told you about a few things before we got going, but let me just go ahead and bring somebody in now who has really been in the mix, in the fray, and been on the show several times over the last couple of years, Malia Stevens. So Malia Stevens, you may recall, she's a licensed counselor with Wellspring Christian Clinic in Birmingham. She's got her undergrad from Samford University. She got her master's in marriage and family therapy from Abilene Christian University in Texas. And she is also, by the way, a board member on the National Center for Sexual Exploitation in Washington, D.C. She does work that I don't know that I could possibly do, and she cares deeply about her mission in life. Let me bring her on. Malia Stevens, how are you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for making some time. Listen, my friend, I think it's important for people to understand maybe your background and your mission in life. So before we even get into the legislation, would you just kind of remind folks who you are and what you do?
Certainly. I'd be happy to. Yeah, so as you mentioned, I'm a marriage and family therapist, a wife and a mom. And since I was a little girl, I knew I wanted to work with families in some capacity. I used to listen to Dr. Dobson on the radio, actually, and I was like, I want to do that one day. And so I love working with families. I really do love seeing families and relationships strengthened. But over the course of the 25 years I've been in private practice, from the very beginning, I was seeing cases where pornography was, you know, just destroying lives, harming lives, hurting marriages, and seeing it affect couples and individuals. But over the years, I was seeing younger and younger people who were really being devastated by exposure to hardcore addictive content. And it kind of came to a head between 2009 and 2011. I was seeing families who brought in young children. I don't really specialize in young children, but I work mostly with adults and teenagers. But they just brought in some children because they knew I worked with these types of cases who were addicted to pornography, like little girls, little boys, ages 6 to 11, who after one or two exposures to hardcore pornography had gotten hooked and had their frontal lobe hijacked by this material. And they were falling into these patterns of child-on-child harmful sexual behavior, which is really common when a child is exposed to pornography because it kind of traumatizes them. That's how they cope with it. So I was seeing these cases, and it was just heartbreaking. These were good kids from good homes, but they were in this pattern, and they were going to great lengths to get their hands on pornography because they couldn't get it at home at this point. And so I was seeing how much of a hold it had. And at the same time, I was working with three survivors of sex trafficking, two of whom had been forced to create pornography against their will when they were captive. One was a male, one was a female. And so my mind was just kind of exploding with understanding the overlapping influence of pornography and all the different types of sexual exploitation, how they're interconnected. So I was crying all the time, basically, and the Lord broke my heart over it. And I was like, okay, God, I've got this burden. What do you want me to do with it? And he was like, well, you're going to raise awareness. You're going to do something with it. So long story short, that's how I began to get connected with the National Center on Sexual Exploitation back in 2012. And since then, we've done many campaigns and worked on legislation. In 2020, we passed a resolution to declare pornography a public health crisis in Alabama.
Yeah.
And we've been working diligently on some other measures to protect kids online. But we fight some heavy opposition. But it's been good. And I think our state's come a long way in terms of their awareness and desire to see things shift for children in particular.
Well, I'll never forget, and I think I mentioned this to you once before you were on the show. My daughter, who's an adult now, was doing a school project, and I want to say she was like maybe 10 years old, and she had to do a story on the White House, and you may know where I'm going now. She just innocently went online with no intent to look up anything illicit and stumbled into it without knowing, because some of these sites, they know exactly what they're doing. They put themselves out there in such a way that they can be stumbled upon easily. And my daughter was so upset because she literally just found herself on a website that was horrible for her. And it was a porn site that called itself whitehouse.something. And all said and done, sometimes there's the actual exploitation. Other times there is the preventable accidental things that can lead to bigger problems if we don't just take the easy steps to prevent them. And that's what this legislation we're looking at right now does in the State House. It's so easy. And it's also been
really
resisted
is.
The last few years.
Right. Yeah, it really is. And you're right to share that story about your daughter, because the pornography industry really comes after children. They target children. You may have seen the Senate hearings of, I guess it was last year, where like Ted Cruz and Marsha Blackburn and several others had social media execs on the stand and calling them out for how they've knowingly allowed children to be exploited on their platforms, and basically said, you've got a profit target on each child, like you see them as a profit target. And that is truly the case. Unfortunately, the more you get behind the scenes, the more you see that this is really not just accidental. It's pretty sinister on the part of big tech and the pornography industry in many cases. They want to data mine our children. They want to sell the data. They want to have the pornography industry wants to hook our kids as early as possible. Because they make more money off of them.
Yeah.
And it's pretty evil. And we, at every hearing, we've got lobbyists on the other side representing Apple, Google, the pornography industry, and oftentimes AT&T, sometimes Verizon, things like that. And then on our side, you've got parents and medical professionals and tech and legal experts demonstrating why this is so simple and why it's so needed. But it's pretty cut and dry between the two different sides of the issue as it relates to the innocence and the protection and the well-being of our children.
Well, and I look at it too, and I realize you know the deal. Like you can, if you're online shopping, if you go to a website, next thing you know, all of your ads and everything else, they begin to geo-target you. So it's not just the site itself. Sometimes it's all the stringers that grab hold of the site. And like you said, they data mine. And next thing you know, they're flooding your home internet with things that you almost can't avoid it at some point if you're not careful. Let me ask you this. Senate Bill 186 is the one you and I have talked about before. It should have already passed. But right now it has passed the Senate. And we're moving towards the House. Talk about that one first. That's the one that has the porn filter that all it has to do is be engaged.
Exactly. So it's called the Safer Devices for Kids Act. And you're right, it's Senate Bill 186. And it is being carried by Senator Clyde Chambliss and Representative Chris Sells in the House. And the last 2 years, that bill, identical pretty much, the last 2 years passed unanimously through the House. But it was not allowed for a final vote in the Senate. So opposition forces were able to kind of snuff it out in the Senate. This year, through a really dramatic effort from Senate leadership, it was able to make it through the Senate, and now we're going to be working our way back through the House. So I'm hopeful that since it's already passed the House the last 2 years, it will make it across the finish line this year. But you're right. It really should have already passed. And had it already passed and gone into effect, you know, young children would really be protected by this bill. Because what it all that it does is it requires that device manufacturers, whenever a device like a tablet or a smartphone is activated for a minor in the state of Alabama, the existing filtering technology will just simply be defaulted on. Instead of it being off as it is now. And so an adult can turn it off later if they want to with a passcode, but a child will be handed a safer device. And, you know, older kids can maybe figure some things out, but younger children in particular are going to be, I mean, all kids will be better protected, but it's a layer of protection for young children so they don't stumble on it, because 47% of the time kids are going to accidentally stumble upon pornography on smartphones and tablets when they're young.
You know what's crazy is that filter already exists, like you said. It comes from the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. When you get the phone at the point of sale, it's already on the phone, which is a clear indication that they know that people want this, but they just don't tell you it's there. It's kind of like selling shoes that have shoelaces, but nobody ties the shoes. I mean, it's designed to do something,
it's like,
and it's there for a reason.
It's like selling somebody a car, but putting the seat belts, they're not connected and they're in the back of the trunk or something.
Yes.
You got to go read the manual and figure out how to put your seat belts on.
That's better than my shoes and shoelaces. Yeah.
Well, no, yours was good too.
Well, all right. Listen, this bill is moving, and I'm prayerful and hopeful that it's going to finally pass, and shame on them if it doesn't. But the other bill, which is new, Senate Bill 187, at least new to me, Senate Bill 187, just passed the Senate also, and this requires the App Store to do age verification. Tell me about that one real quick.
This one is awesome. It's much more it's more comprehensive. They're both important. We need both of them, but this one is really great because both of these bills have already passed Utah, and the app bill is currently progressing really well in Texas, just by the way. But this one, it requires that the device manufacturers and the app developers work together to better protect children. And essentially, it's going to empower parents as well, because right now children can go onto they can purchase an app without necessarily having parental approval. You know, a child can't go into a store and buy cigarettes or alcohol, and they can't go into a bank and sign a contract, you know, for a loan, but they're essentially going into contract with these multi-billion-dollar companies whenever they sign up for an app, and children can't consent to that. So this bill is really focused on consent law, and it's requiring that the device manufacturers notify the app developers, hey, this is a minor that's about to try to sign up for your app, and then the parents have to be notified at every single time. The parents have to be notified, and they can either accept or deny request. And then also the other thing that is amazing is that it's going to require these app developers to actually have accurate age ratings, because right now they can put any age rating they want to on them. It's just completely subjective, and you've got so many apps that are marketed as safe for children, but they're actually breeding grounds. They're places where predators are coming after our children at younger and younger ages. So it's going to tighten up all that and just make it a safer digital environment for our kids.
Well, I am hopeful. So let me ask you this. We got about maybe a minute and a half here. What's your expectation? Because we're down to the wire. We got, maybe 1 week worth of legislative action potential here left. And and what are you hearing? Because they're through the Senate. And I think you told me offline that the Senate bills are what's going to travel now. We're going to move those. So what's your anticipation regarding when they'll come to the floor, and what kind of promises, or for that matter, fears, are you hearing from leadership?
I'm hearing that we're still going to have to battle Apple and Google, and perhaps some of the pornography industry and AT&T as well. But Apple and Google in particular, for both bills, but especially the app bill. And they don't want to be regulated. They don't want to lose access to our kids. They don't want to have any kind of, they're one of the only, you know, entities that's not regulated in any way, shape, or form, and they don't want to have that happen. So they're fighting us really hard, and we need our legislators to understand that parents, you know, I'll say this too, we've done polling, 83% of Alabama residents, Republican and Democrat, want to see these bills pass. But we need our legislators to understand that they're being, you know, really watched. Are they going to align with big tech and the pornography industry? Are they going to align with our children and our families? So we're going to have a battle. We know that there's still going to be an effort to stall it and potentially kill it. So if your listeners would not mind taking the time to call Speaker Ledbetter's office, other leadership, and just let them know that you care about these bills, that you really want to see them cross the finish line this year.
Yeah, that's the Senate Bill 186 and the Senate Bill 187. And what are the nicknames for the bills? You called them something a moment ago.
The App Store Accountability Act is Senate Bill 187.
Yeah.
And the Safer Devices for Kids Act is Senate Bill 186.
Okay. All right. Listen, Malia Stevens, would you please just kind of keep us posted? And if you see things moving or not moving, we'll jump you back on the air at a moment's notice and keep the audience updated on this, okay?
That would be awesome. Thank you so much, Phil.
All right. Malia Stevens, licensed professional counselor at Wellspring Christian Clinic. We appreciate your work, and we'll have you back on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Rand Long coming back for a short segment. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, just pulling pins on truth grenades in here. So, all right, I ran long because I wanted to get as much time as I could for Malia Stevens to outline those bills and the need. And I hope y'all got the grasp of what's happening right now. We have two major pieces of legislation that are like low-hanging fruit easy. They are just like too easy for anyone to ever avoid. And what's happening right now is, I guarantee you, what I'm hearing, by the way, is that the bill that has the App Store discussion wrapped in it, has the App Store age verification wrapped in it, that leadership is not sure, that would be Speaker of the House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, is not sure he wants to pass that one. It may be too much. Why? I mean, it's because Apple might say something about it, because, you know, Google might say something about it. Listen, the bottom line is this: it's for our kids. I will point out too, on a sidebar note here, that case with the Supreme Court today, Justice Kavanaugh asked the question pointedly. He said, they're not asking you to change what's taught in the classroom. They're just wanting to walk out, their children to walk out so they're not exposed to things contrary to their beliefs. It's not hard. It's really not. Taking care of kids, it's not rocket science. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.